This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Callum McSwiggan.
Callum McSwiggan.
On FUBAR Radio.
And welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. This week, I am joined by my wonderful friend. It is sex expert Joe.
Hi, Callum. Hi, everyone.
How are you doing, Joe?
Yeah, ace, thank you, mate. Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
I've been waiting. You've been on air for what? Too long without inviting me.
There's been two shows, Joe. You're in the third
show. It's
been
long enough.
Calm yourself. So, Joe and I have an amazing relationship, I think. It started out, we were actually not colleagues, but we worked together in...
It began very professionally. for considering how it is now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what helped. Maybe having that sort of that boardroom tension is what got us started.
A little bit of
do you want to tell the story or shall I?
I want to hear your take on the story.
Okay. So so I work, my day-to-day is in PR. And years ago, we're talking like 4 years now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Ages ago.
Yeah, been friends a long time.
I was brought onto an account and I'm pretty sure my boss knew what he was doing. Yes, he did say, you know, if you turned up the flirty flirt, then we might retain this client a little bit longer.
Because they Googled me in advance is what they did. They put my name into Google and up I came, gay as anything. And so they basically prostituted out Joe, essentially.
I think, that's pretty much how I've made my living so far. But that's exactly what happened. And then we met, and we got on, but we only met initially in work environments, right? So there was glances of, I know what you're thinking. If there was anything rude, any like double entendres or anything, we were on it. And then one day in I think heaven, you just came up to me out of nowhere.
Oh, we're going here. I thought we were going to miss this bit out of the story. Okay,
this is the next level. This is exactly what happened. This is an insight into how Callum makes friends. He came over and tried to stick his tongue down my throat.
Well, you say tried.
Okay, now. So I feverishly pushed you off.
Yeah, you did.
And we've just remained friends ever since. And then you've been doing videos for years, and I want to get in on that. So I jumped on board, and we created some really fun games.
We did. Some of the best videos on my channel are with Joe. He has been my little sex expert. And
so the background to that, by the way, I've actually been published. This is like loosely talking, and I've also done it under pseudonyms. So you won't find all of my work because I've done a lot out there. But first of all, a little insight into the sort of sex education writing world. It helps to be a woman, you know.
Interesting.
It's a lot harder to be a man. It's a woman's world. There are a few pieces out there under pseudonyms that you wouldn't know is actually me.
Are you allowed to talk about the chair?
The chair?
The chair. The special chair. Special chair.
I'm going to type something. You're going to tell me if... Do you mean that?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
fine. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I do. This is actually professional work, though. So I, as for one of my clients, was a sex toy company back in the day as well. And we created a story which is still getting coverage today.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. It's like 2 years old now. The brief was the client had, so it's a sex toy company, they had accidentally bought like 10,000 black dildos. They're 8.5 inches, but they're
accidentally
dead. No, you know that thing when you see something you want online and then you see like oh there's a version there that's basically the same but it's like half the price, what's the harm, let's get that one instead. So they'd done that, and then when they came they found that they'd come from China with this massive like metal rod in the middle of them.
Okay.
Which isn't safe. Absolutely not safe. Yeah. No, because if you like bent the dildo, it would like poke through.
Oh God.
So like it could theoretically have gone straight through you.
And caused a lot of injury. That's not good. So what do you want from a dildo?
No. So they came to us and said, do something with these, and we were like, oh my God, this is like the dream brief. Like, we've got 10,000 8.5-inch black dildos, and there are no limits. We can do whatever we want with them.
So what did you do with them, Joe?
After a few ideas, we thought, this was like a couple of years ago, like this was when Game of Thrones was like peak cool new TV program.
Sure.
Coming back on TV. And so we were like, let's make the throne. Let's build the throne out of 8.5-inch black dildos. I'm sure we can get a photo of it and probably put it on the Twitter or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tweet that out in a little while.
There were stories, or you can just Google it if you're on a connected device.
I actually told producer Lissy this story just before we came on air, and she was like, oh my God, he's the person that did the chair. Like, everyone knows about the dildo throne.
No, I know. I went out that night and was like, did anyone see that? And everyone was like, I saw BuzzFeed or sort of Metro. I was like, that's what I do. That's what I do as my day job.
Make dildo thrones.
That's it, yeah. I've not had a better day in work since.
Well, Joe, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you onto the show was because on this show, we react to people's sex confessions live.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does sound familiar. So this is actually something Joe and I have done on my YouTube channel many, many times. It was actually Joe's idea to do this.
Yay!
And yeah, it's kind of his baby, so I wanted to bring him onto the show so that
we can
do that together live on air.
And it's so much fun.
It is. It is the best fun.
Our videos, I watch them back now and I just cannot stop laughing. laughing.
Yeah, because like, wasn't it? It must have been like 3 years ago we did our first video together. We're like babies it in was. That video. And you that haven't was... got facial hair. <I've>
got... Yeah, and that was our friends that were giving us their
sex confessions.
So I want to hear your guys' sex confessions now.
Do you know where to tell them to email them, Joe?
Callum@foobarradio.com, perhaps?
That is correct, yeah.
Email Callum them with in. One L.
They will all be anonymous, unless you particularly do want us to read your name out on air, and then just let us know. But otherwise, they will be anonymous, so don't worry about us giving away your identity.
Can I make a suggestion, a quick build on this?
Yes.
Do you remember one time we played this, and we took them from an app, and the app gave people like a pseudonym name that was
like
an animal... And a personality, so like, it was like Cheeky Badger.
Annoying Cheetah.
Yeah. Can you, if you're going to send in a sex confession, can you sign it off with a nickname for yourself that is both an animal and a personality?
Brilliant. I love it.
Sorry.
Please do that. If that's not too complicated, please do that. Okay, shall we have some music, Joe?
Yes.
And then we're going to jump into news. You'll never feel happy! No, you won't. Until you try, you'll never feel happy. Some cool music, Joe. Good choice.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a fan. Okay, so we are going to be doing some LGBT plus news. And I thought this week the theme would be the same-sex marriage referendum in Australia. Because that is going on right now. People are putting in their votes. People are doing their postal votes. Mm-hmm. And it's a big moment in history, I think. We had Ireland a couple of years ago. And hopefully, if enough people vote yes, we will get same-sex marriage in Australia.
It feels unbelievable that it might not be a yes, considering there are so many Western countries now that have proven that, you know, the walls don't come crashing down. Sure. That it's such a moment of acceptance that I love the moment that Ireland got when they got a vote.
Yeah,
I kind of like that. Obviously, you know, you kind of feel sorry because there will be people that maybe would have passed away in between. Then in between, you know, if it had just passed through Parliament or their government, then so you feel sorry for them. But hopefully it will be a yes, and it'll be a super positive thing for everyone in that country.
I really, really hope so. I think what I found a little bit scary about it was that the last time I was kind of looking at the polls, I was looking at a graph where it was showing that, you know, more and more people were voting yes, and it was growing and growing and growing, and then suddenly it dropped.
Yeah.
And although the polls are still pointing towards the yes vote,
it's tightening though, isn't it?
It's tightening, and it's getting closer and closer and closer. And I think we saw that happen with Brexit.
Mm.
So yeah, it is a little bit scary. And I feel like, you know, anyone listening to this show, I feel like, is going to be very pro LGBT plus. And you know, so if there is anyone in Australia, please do make sure that you do vote yes. But I think that goes without saying. I would be really surprised if no voters were listening to this show.
You're in the wrong room.
Okay, so the first news story I have for us today is that some of the postal votes have been coming through with rude words in the barcodes. So in order to make sure all the postal votes are unique, they're all given a barcode, which is generated with random numbers and letters.
Oh, I see.
So there's one that has gone viral, and has bum sex.
Oh, brilliant.
In capital letters right there on the barcode, which...
Apt.
And I'm really happy that the person who actually received this one and tweeted it out was very pro-LGBT+.
Yes.
Because
you wouldn't believe it if you couldn't ride it, could you?
You couldn't. And they've actually, the government or whoever it is that issues these out has actually issued an apology. And I don't think that's something they should be apologising for. Like, who is honestly offended by that?
The whole point of this vote is that we don't need to apologise for bum sex.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, Joe. So, yeah, I think that's quite a fun little thing. Also, there has been... So this isn't necessarily directly to do with the vote happening in Australia right now. Basically, there was a school in Australia, and they decided to do a fundraiser. And this fundraiser was... The idea was that boys would wear dresses to school to raise money. Now, they weren't actually trying to promote a LGBT plus message. They were actually trying to raise money for... I think it was women's rights. I've lost my information. I think they were trying to raise money for something that wasn't actually to do with LGBT plus.
Yeah.
And which, you know, is quite a, it's just a wonderful thing. And then an Australian politician, Senator Corey Bernardi, came in on Twitter and tried to defame the whole thing, saying, "One school in SA, which I assume is the area, now has wear a dress day. This gender morphing is really getting absurd. Hashtag OzPol." So he's actually made this about
the
referendum.
Two.
And he's actually connected it to LGBT plus issues, where as actually all it was a bit of fancy dress. It was, you know, encouraging the boys to wear a dress to school for a bit of fun and to raise money for a wonderful cause. And this politician has tried to twist that.
Does that show they're scraping the barrel here?
I think so, and I think this is the problem with a lot of the no campaigns, is that they're really trying to twist things, and they will take anything out of context if it gives them a bit of leverage to disparage the yes campaign.
Yeah, it's awful. I remember seeing Australian government's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing the video about how in New Zealand they passed it. This went viral quite recently.
Yeah,
they took it with a bit of sense of humor and just came in, and it was like not even an afterthought. It was, this has to happen, and it's strange that Australia, sort of such a developed country, is still having to do stuff like this. Has people in its country that behave in this way? It's worrying, but I think it is such a generational thing. I know there will be older listeners that are with us today that are totally in support of all LGBT issues. But I really strongly feel that in sort of 30 years, it'll be one of those things we look back on, like we do like race issues. Obviously, it's still an issue, and it's coming to the forefront again. But in the sort of the segregation ways that you'd balk at the concept of that happening today.
Yeah, I think what really baffles me about the whole thing is that you have countries like Australia, and surely they can clearly see the Yes campaigns winning in other places in the world, like Ireland, for instance, and they can see equality happening for LGBT plus people around the world. And I just can't understand how they can see that kind of progress happening around the world and still be rooted in their ways and not see the positive results. Yep. They're coming out with all these ideas like if same-sex marriage is legalized, that will encourage people, that will encourage gay men to prey on children. These are the kinds of arguments they're using against the campaign. And yet they can see other countries where same-sex marriage has been legalized.
Totally. And they use the same arguments here, and they failed. But I think whenever there's progress, there's always going to be a certain level of backlash.
Yes.
And we've seen it sort of in America, and obviously it hasn't quite turned into something actually permanent in a obviously gladly speaking. But it could well be that Australia is the case where it's the sort of the nation actually feels like other countries have moved too quickly, and it has to come back a little bit, which would be frightening.
I think It would be frightening, and obviously that would be a devastating blow. But I think in some ways it could be a potential, not that obviously I don't want it to happen, but it could be a wake up call, I think, for some people out there to kind of realise
there's still so much left to do.
There is so much that needs to be done. But this story isn't all bad, because basically after this Australian politician got involved and tried to completely tear apart what these school children were trying to raise money, he tried to tear that apart, and a comedian by the name of Josh Thomas actually saw this and got involved, and he then retweeted it and completely pulled apart this guy's argument, just pointed out these are school children trying to raise money for a wonderful cause.
Yes, I love it when someone gets dragged on Twitter.
I know, it's literally
so
my favourite thing.
And it's just tweet after tweet after tweet, and you're like, yes, retweet, retweet.
And that's exactly what happened here. And this comedian also said that he would donate $1,000 of his own money to this fundraising campaign.
Amazing.
And then this also kind of, it went viral, it took off, more and more people started donating, and in the first day they were just trying to raise $900 and they actually broke over 11,000.
Wow. Well, that shows you.
And now people, my favorite thing about this whole story is that this essentially homophobic politician who originally tried to drag this campaign, people are now writing to him to thank him. They're saying,
for the donations.
Thank you so much for promoting this message. And I just love that. I think that's
great. Yeah, it's the Santorum rule.
The Santorum rule.
Yeah, you know Rick Santorum?
I don't. I feel like I should.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Give me a second to get the whole backstory, and I'll recite this to you.
Okay. I'm very, very intrigued by this. So is he a politician?
He's an American politician, right? And he was very, very much anti-LGBT.
Okay.
Hold on. And so this was in May 2013. Dan Savage, who's a sex columnist and LGBT rights activist, created a name for the... Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. The frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that's sometimes produced by the byproduct of anal sex. This is Google. This is Wikipedia talking, not me. And they named that Santorum in honour of him.
Oh,
and he
that's
was hugely anti-LGBT. So taking someone who's, got incredibly anti-LGBT views and then turning their name, making them the hero of the situation. I love it.
Absolutely love that. And I did see that at the time. And also Santorum, it kind of...
It works.
It works.
It shouldn't... I mean, it doesn't need a name.
Santorum all
over
the bed
sheets.
All right, the next thing on the same-sex marriage vote in Australia is that there is some concerns over people kind of doing bad things. And so basically, one Australian mother found a whole bunch of the postal votes in her back garden.
Do you know why it's a postal vote? It seems so archaic.
I feel like I should know the answer to that, but I don't. I think it's to try and encourage as many people to vote as possible because people perhaps don't get out of the house, they don't go and vote.
Yeah, fair point.
I feel like it's probably to give as many people the opportunity to vote as possible, but it does seem a little archaic, especially when it comes to, things like people there being foul play. So in this situation, they've suspected that perhaps a postal worker or somebody from the neighbourhood has... maybe tampered with the votes, stolen the votes, taken away people's opportunities to vote. Australia have come back and said that they are 100% confident that there isn't any foul play going on, but it does sound a little bit suspect. So it's kind of, I guess, a potentially scary situation if people are resorting to foul play in order to get the no vote through. But I would hope...
You've got to have faith in the system.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, the whole thing falls apart. So you've just got to believe that it's fair and accurate representation. If it's super, super close, then I don't know. Then it becomes a real issue. But hopefully it's going to be a win, a clear win.
I think as well, hopefully, if it is really, really close, would they be able to call a second referendum?
I don't know Australian rules enough, but you'd certainly hope so if it's that close.
You'd certainly hope it would happen.
But it won't be, surely not.
I'm really, really hoping that it is going to be a positive one.
Have you heard Tim Minchin's song about this?
About the same-sex marriage vote?
Yeah.
No, he's done a song about this?
Has he? Yeah.
Oh, because he's Australian, obviously.
He's Australian, yeah.
Oh, I love Tim Minchin.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if Tim Minchin has an opinion, then I'm pretty much going to side with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, I've got some information here. If the postal vote delivers a majority yes result, the government will allow a private member's bill to be introduced to the House in the final sitting fortnight of the year.
So if there's a yes vote, it still then needs to go to Parliament to actually pass it into law, right?
Yes, it would seem so, but I feel like they're not going to go against what the public have said.
No, it's like Brexit. You can't really... The people have spoken, and you'd have to be really staunchly against something and put your career on the line to vote against that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this also says if the postal vote delivers a majority no result, that the Prime Minister no bill will go ahead and nothing will go through to Parliament.
And it's the 15th of November that the results are in, right?
Which is really, really, really soon.
It's a long vote, though, because they've started accepting postal votes.
Yeah, I do think it's a good thing to have a longer process to make sure that people are involved. I'm going to leave our little news section on a high note, Joe.
Yeah.
Because this melted my little heart, and I don't know if it's just because I'm particularly emotional today or what it is, but when I read this earlier,
Were you emotional because I was coming on?
Well, you know I love you, and I don't get to see you that often. So basically, there has been obviously a lot of people campaigning for the yes vote in Australia. There's been, you know, an awful lot of people out there saying, you know, doing things like writing things in the sky against this. But there's also been an awful lot of people doing positive things towards the yes campaign. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's getting enough coverage. So when I just love it. Basically, a 12-year-old boy went out and campaigned and he identified as gay himself. And he had a little placard, and the placard says, "All I want is the right to marry Chris Hemsworth. You've got 5 years until I'm 18, Australia."
Oh my God,
you
relatable.
Too, Chris. I absolutely love it. And that's actually in response to Chris Hemsworth being very outspoken towards the Yes campaign and showing his support for it.
Good lad.
And this little boy. But my absolute favorite thing about this is that this guy is 12 years old, and this is what he said about the same-sex marriage vote. "Marriage is about love and commitment, and in a country based on equal citizenship, it should be available to everyone. All I want is the right to marry Chris Hemsworth. You've got 5 years until I'm 18 years old, Australia." And then he went on to say, "I know I'm not actually..." So this is the bit where I think he shows a sign of maturity. He says, "I know that I'm not actually going to marry Chris Hemsworth. It was a fun sign to draw attention to a serious matter. I have LGBTI friends and family and think they should be able to marry if they choose to. I march for human rights. It's a matter extremely close to my heart. It's frustrating that the government hasn't made the decision themselves, and the LGBTI community is now exposed to nasty comments that question our existence. I march for the people who couldn't." That coming from a 12-year-old boy, I think... is incredibly powerful.
I always find it amazing how the people that are like a decade behind us in terms of their age group are already so much, so far braver than I ever was, certainly growing up at that age. I even think of my school. I was not out at school. There was only one guy in my school I was aware of that was out. And when I go back home to my town now, and I hear about the kids that I remember being really young that are already out in school, and I'm like, oh man, fair play to them.
Yeah.
Like, but that's also I take a bit of pride in the fact that we're creating an environment as a whole society where that's more acceptable and it's doable, it's achievable. It's for someone to feel comfortable in that way. It starts at home, it starts with the immediate family, but it extends far wider. And the more representations they see, the more positive representations, and the more affirmation they get from things like this, folk, whether it's at home or it's abroad, it's essential, and it just means that we can live normally, like without a weird thought in the back of our mind.
Yeah.
That the best advert I've seen from the Australian plebiscite stuff has been this one about Hold Tight. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it was like a TV company did it.
The Hold Tight, which was about
the holding hands.
Yeah.
And how you do, and I still do this in London now, or pretty much anywhere I go, but even London, a super forward thinking city. I still, if I'm with my partner, would if we were, I mean, we barely have that much PDA anyway, but if we were holding hands, we would totally, probably, if we were in a crowded or any room or any public space, like, stop holding hands.
Yeah, and it's really sad. And I think it's something that a lot of kind of straight people out there don't actually realize what a big
yeah, they can't thing. Relate to that.
They can't relate to it. And this isn't an attack against those people.
Not
it's just that I completely understand that they can't relate to that feeling of just wanting to hold your partner's hand and being afraid of it. Like, I would say I'm not afraid enough in most situations to let go. In most situations, I will still hold that person's hand. But there have been, even recently, when I've been out with the guy I'm dating and I've been holding his hand, and, you know, we've walked, it's been late at night, you've walked past a group of lads or something, you immediately let go.
And totally. And I need to apologize to any gay couple that I see holding hands because I stare.
I'm like, oh my God, gays.
Yes. And I'm like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh my God, I'm staring. They think that I'm now the aggressor. And I try and then overly smile. Then
it gets
inviting me back, and it's really awkward.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I love everything that's happening. All the positive stuff that's happening in Australia.
Hold tight,
now.
Australia. It's going to be good.
Hold tight, Australia. And I've got a little song by Australia's princess,
Kylie.
Kylie!
Hey!
Someone willing to travel. Radio presents Harriet Rose with Nossa.
Mabel, how's it going?
I feel like there is a certain responsibility, like as much as I just want to have fun and make songs that me and my friends can dance to, I feel like I do have a responsibility to tell young women to like not get lost in relationships and to always put yourself first. I love love. I love falling in love, but that it's really important to make sure that you're in the driving seat and that somebody's not just using you. The women that I grew up listening to taught me so much, Lauryn Hill and Beyoncé, about being an independent woman and like being strong and taking care of me. And I think that is an important message to send.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose with Nossa from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
All right, we're going to play a game.
Love games.
So that was, I feel like that section we just had was pretty intense.
It was kind of serious. We could do with some decompression.
Yeah, so this is one of my favourite games of the show. You've not actually been briefed on this, have you, Joe?
On
this game
no,
we're
the
about
next
to
segment.
Play.
No idea.
Well, we're going to definitely throw you in the deep end here. Cool. So this is called Sexy Talk Game.
Sexy Talk Game.
It's a very, very genius name we came up with there. Mm-hmm. And in this game, we have been given 3 words. And these are on pieces
of paper.
Oh, is that
the piece of paper?
Don't look at them yet.
Okay.
And we are going to pretend to have phone sex. So I'm going to call you up, Joe.
Yep.
And
we're going to what?
You're like, did I hear that correctly?
Double take code.
We're going to pretend to have phone sex.
Right. Is anyone actually listening to this, or is this just a ploy?
This
for you
is
to...
just a ploy okay. for me to get into Joe's pants, as always. So you have to try and sneak your 3 words into our phone sex conversation.
Can I not look directly at you whilst I do this?
No, you have to look me in the eye for the whole thing. You have to commit. This is method acting, Joe.
Okay, I'm on.
So I've got some sexy music, and then I'm going to give you a call.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand the rules?
I understand the rules now.
Last week I did not explain the rules properly. Okay, time for the sexy music. Okay, Joe, I'm calling you.
Okay.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, hi there.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you. I've been waiting for you to call.
Well, I've been thinking about you for a long time now, and, you know, all those meetings in the boardroom where I'm just staring at you across the room and thinking all these terrible, terrible thoughts.
I mean, that's your thoughts in a nutshell, but let's skip to the chase.
Okay, well, you know, I've always been into this thing, and it's... Do you know the Notting Hill Carnival?
Yes.
I've always had this fantasy about having sex out in the Notting Hill Carnival.
Right.
And, you know, just listening to the rhythm of the music, uh-huh. and really vibing off each other.
Carnival.
Just, yeah, exactly. Would that be something you'd be into?
I mean, sure, if no one found out. Although, I guess if I'm there, I'm a massive gossip, so who knows?
Who would you tell, Joe?
Everyone. Camel?
Camel?
Yeah.
Who?
Camel, my friend Camel. It's a nickname, Camel.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to throw...
Was that subtle? No.
I did not understand what that reference was. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to throw off the balance of our friendship, Joe.
Okay. Tell me more about our friendship.
Well, there's this day coming up, and it's National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh.
So I was thinking maybe you could come over then, and maybe you could make me walk the plank.
Uh-huh.
Would you like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Do you like that?
Yeah.
I hate this game.
Oh.
This is...
How did you do? I think I spotted your words.
Okay, tell me what you think my words were.
Okay. There was carnival.
No.
Oh,
carnival
no.
Carnival was not in there.
Oh,
it's
no.
really, it's a really hard game.
It is.
And I get so uncomfortable looking at you while
think
saying
one
these
of
horrible...
mine was. I think one of mine was quite obvious.
Shell. Nutshell.
Oh, you got that.
Nutshell.
Oh, that was the one I thought I'd done the best sort of contextual...
And
contextual
was
reference.
Camel one of your words?
Yeah, camel was one of my words. God damn it, that was...
your friend Camel.
Well, yeah, because how do you get camel into a sentence? I was trying to think of like a...
we could have had like some fantasy night in Arabia. We could have gone exploring through the desert. There's plenty of things we could have done there.
Could have gone for my humps.
Yeah, your lovely lady humps.
I ain't a camel. Right.
Exactly. So do you know what my words were? Rhythm was one of them, which was the Notting Hill Carnival tie-in.
Oh, nice. See, Notting Hill was a good red herring there.
Yeah, like to throw you off. Balance, the balance of our friendship.
Yours were easy.
No, they were tricky. And then pirate.
Pirate
National
is
Talk Like a Pirate Day is
that's
coming
a true
up.
Thi- I know that's a true thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a big annual holiday for me.
And I think it's there's a certain I think it might be Chipotle. One, there is a restaurant where if you go in and you do talk like a pirate, they will give you a free burrito.
That
I
is,
think it's Chipotle.
I work in PR and that is just brilliant, isn't it?
It?
You don't need to do any more than that if you're in PR. That is it.
National holiday. I would go as far as saying that that is better than a dildo thing.
Do not you dare.
Do not you dare.
That's my career highlight you're messing with right there.
All right, we've had some lovely, lovely people watching the show and engaging with us on Twitter. So this is a shout out for Nathan Curtis, Danny, Adriana Sanchez, David Caulfield, Zacchaeus Little John, and Honor Mrs. Spenny.
Indeed.
I feel like these aren't people's real names. I feel like these are
David Caulfield feels fairly legit.
And Adriana Sanchez, I can believe that.
That's a cool pop star name.
But Zacchaeus Little John, I'm not so sure.
Probably not. The Zacchaeus is a great name.
Zacchaeus. Mm. That's a hot name. I've always thought that like Zac is one of the sexiest names out there.
Yeah, it was a Power Ranger. And pretty much all the Power Rangers have like a, I think, a place in most young men's
gay
hearts.
Yes. Yeah. Which Power Ranger was he?
He was the black one, I think.
I always liked the white ranger and the red one.
Jason.
Yeah, the red one and the white one I always had a little thing for.
Yeah. No one liked Billy, the blue one. Bless him.
Bless Billy. Didn't they make a film of that? They made a new film
a recent
of that
film,
recently.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but
I really want to see it just to live out all those like, little childhood fantasies.
I think it is. They didn't try to, you know, Dark Knight it. They didn't try to make it cool. They just went straight down with, we know what this is.
We know what
we're
this is.
We're going to deliver.
We know that this is absolute trash, but we're going with it anyway. All right. If you want to send in some sex confessions for Joe and I to react to live on air, you can do that by emailing us in at callum@fubarradio.com. You can also tweet us, but I don't know whether you want to be airing your dirty laundry on Twitter where everyone can
see. Are your DMs open?
My DMs are not open.
Your DMs... mine could be open.
Do you want yours to be open, Joe?
I could do it for the purpose of this.
Sure, if you want to DM Joe...
I'll do it now.
He is. What is your Twitter handle?
@jcubed and then an underscore, yeah.
That's really difficult.
Just the letter J and then cubed, C-U-B-E-D.
I feel like you're overcomplicating. He just wants people to follow him on Twitter. Don't ignore him. Don't follow Joe on Twitter. Email us in instead because that's easier. Stop overcomplicating things,
Sorry.
Joe. All right, let's have another song.
To that moment where it all fell apart. So I try and drink my emotions till I can't feel my heart. And I don't understand how you slipped through my hands. And I do all I can to get you out of my head.
Love the night. just listen to it right outside the window. There were days when the sun was so cruel, all the tears turned to dust, and I just knew my eyes were drying up forever. I finished crying in the instant that you left, and I can't remember where or when or how, and I banished every memory you and I had ever made. But when you touch me like this and you hold me like that, I just have to admit that it's all coming back to me. When I touch you like this and I hold you like that, it's so hard to believe, but it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back, it's all coming back to me now. There were moments of gold and there were flashes of light. There were things I'd never do again, but then they'd always seem to right.
Never do again, but then they always seem right.
give you all that. We forgive and forget, and it's all coming back to me. When you see me like this, and when I see you like that, we see just what we want to see, all coming back to me. The flesh and the fantasies all coming back to me. I can barely recall, but it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back to me now. And when you kiss me like this, it's all coming back to me now. And when I touch you like that, it's all coming back to me now. And if you do it like this, it's all coming back to me now. And if we...
When I said you could pick some songs, Joe.
What a song.
I mean, it's a good song, but that went on for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, but you enjoyed my performance of it in the room, right?
I did. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. It was really, really special. So we're going to be playing Mixed Pleasures now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another game you may recognise, Joe.
Okay.
This is another one I've actually stolen from... our time. So in this game, you are going to spin our fantastic wheel here with us in the studio.
Yay! Hi, wheel!
Gasp and look how beautiful it is. Exactly. Okay. You're going to spin the wheel and it is going to land on a fetish.
Okay, Wheel of Misfortune. I like it.
Wheel of Misfortune is what this game is called. Not Mixed Pleasures. Going forward, this is Wheel of Misfortune. Great. And you are going to have to try and figure out what the fetishes are by the name alone.
Okay.
And then we're going to whack them out. No, we're not.
Oh, wow.
We're not. Don't worry
about
it.
That's what the under the desk is for.
So as a way to kind of initiate my guests onto the show, you have to make the wheel noise.
Okay.
Are you
Wait,
ready?
But the wheel's here, though.
The wheel is here.
It's a real wheel.
So you're going to spin the wheel now, Joe.
Okay, now?
Okay, go. It's a really impressive wheel. It's a really realistic sound as well. Okay, it has landed on Melissophilia.
Fetish for Melissa... fetish for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, because her name is Melissa Joan Hart.
Thank you kindly.
Bit of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
A bit of reference work there for you.
I like it. No, that is not the answer.
Okay, wait, say it to me one more time.
Melissophilia.
Why do you sound Italian when you say that?
Well, because it's Latin, isn't it? These are all Latin words.
Wow, this really is an education today, isn't
it?
Yeah,
like because philia means, like, I don't know, the fetish for in Latin, right?
Yes, it clearly does.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So the first bit is Melissa.
Melissa is the clue, but it's not really a clue.
Would you want to give me an actual clue?
Okay. Your clue is the colour yellow.
Ooh. Ooh.
And also the colour black.
Ooh, okay. The fetish for having sex near bumblebees.
That is...
No way!
...the correct answer.
Yes.
Well, close enough. It is the arousal to bees and wasps.
Wow!
Yeah.
I work with a girl who is obsessed with... Her name is Abby, and she... AB. And she works with... She just honestly loves bees. And I think she might be into that.
In a sexual way?
I don't know. But I'm going to ask her.
Okay. I would love to know about that.
We did like a work day where we were told to like bring presentations to help everyone else out.
Yeah.
So we did like, here's how to, you know, manage your time better. Here's how to leave work or whatever. Here's how to talk to journalists properly. And she came with... Here's the presentation about bees. And we were like, you didn't get the brief, did you? but we learned a lot about bees.
Tell
me
a bee fact. A bee fact.
So the queen bee does nothing but like lay eggs and eat food.
Yeah, sounds like a great job.
I know, right?
I'd love to be the queen.
That's it. And they do like a bumblebee dance that they do when they want to attract each other.
Okay. So like, is the queen bee just the only female bee, and then all the other male bees like take it in turns to have have a go?
I don't think so, but I do know that if the queen bee decides to fuck off and leave,
yeah,
the rest of them like follow her, and then there's like a new queen.
Ooh.
And the way they elect the new queen is all the babies, all the like other daughters from the queen get fed this royal jelly, like the royal
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
The one that takes to it the most is the one that gets elected. How bonkers is that?
What? So there is loads of female bees. It's not just the one female.
No, there's other female bees. Yeah,
it's just one queen, and they all love her.
They all love her. They even digest her food for her,
yeah,
and then just plow it back into her. And then she lays eggs, and then they feed them with this royal honey or bee jelly or something.
Bee juice.
Honestly, we were laughing so much, I barely paid actual attention.
Was she like 100% like serious?
So serious. She did the bumblebee dance, but otherwise it's...
Amazing.
So this is the Callum McSwiggan LGBT and bee education show.
LGBT.
Oh, no, yeah, there's already bee in there, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, spin the wheel again, Joe. I was actually going to do the sound for you, but you're just really committed to this, aren't you?
Yeah, your finger's over that button.
All right, it has landed on pigophilia.
Oh, come on.
Is this
this as obvious as it seems?
Perhaps.
The fetish for having sex with bacon on top of you.
Is that your final answer, Joe?
I mean, I'm talking from knowledge here, Callum.
I'm afraid you're wrong.
What?
No, try again. Come on, pigophilia.
Could you use it in a sentence, please?
I met this guy last night and he was really into pigophilia.
Helpful as ever. It's pig, P-I-G.
No, it's P-Y-G. So I suppose it could be pygophilia.
No, okay. So I'm going to use some
logic,
educated thinking here.
Okay, go ahead.
So a pygmy is a short person?
Sure.
Okay. Am I on the right lines?
No. Not at all.
Like I said, educated thinking. I'm gonna divert away from the small person thing.
Yeah, sure.
P-Y-G.
P-Y-G-O. Philia.
P-Y-G-O. P-Y-G-O. Pygo.
Pygo.
Philia. Is it fireworks?
I can, like, pyrotechnics.
Mm.
See what you did there, but no.
Okay, just tell me.
Again, it was really difficult, and I don't think you were ever going to get this. It is arousal to buttocks.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, which, you know, I think that's a...
Feels relatable.
It's a pretty common fetish, I would imagine. You know, I'm actually not turned on by buttocks, though, at all.
No?
I'm not, no. Like, there's some... Like, I know a lot of gay guys
There's a few Instagram channels I could introduce you to that might change your mind.
No, but, like, I talk to a lot of my gay friends, and they're like, oh, my God, like, this guy had the most amazing ass.
Yeah.
Or, like, did you see that film where this celebrity had his ass out? And I'm like, to me, a guy's ass is about as attractive as their, like, abs or their chest. Like, I want to look at it,
mm-hmm,
but I'm not, like... super excited by it.
It's the number one for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Top nice buttock. So would you call yourself a pigophiliac?
I'm changing my Twitter handle to @pigophiliac right now.
I love it. All right. Let's spin the wheel one more time. Do you want to do the noise?
Yeah.
You do, don't you? Go.
No, you're pressing the button this time.
No, I thought you were doing the noise.
I'm doing the motion, but you're pressing it.
Go. It sounds like a slot machine.
Right.
It does sound like a slot machine. Okay, our fabulous wheel has landed on nebulophilia. Nebulophilia.
Okay.
And, Joe, I'm going to give you a big clue. We've actually done this in one of our videos before, so we have actually talked about this before.
Oh, I thought you said we've done this. I was like, that doesn't narrow it down here. Nebulophilia.
Yes.
Oh, I should know this because I obviously got it wrong last time as well, right?
I think you did get it wrong last time.
Okay, I'm going to show you my working out here.
Sure.
Nebulous, it's either going to be something really big or something really small.
No.
It's in the middle somewhere,
perhaps.
Just
straight to the point. It's not something that's really measurable by size.
Okay. May you give me another clue?
Think more about the name, because there is a clue in the name, in this one. Nebulophilia.
Neb. Okay, so neb, I'm guessing, is the giveaway.
Think
here.
More nebula.
Nebula.
Nebula. Something to do with, like, space or the weather.
That's
isn't
what
it?
I was thinking. Like, is it, like, a fetish for having sex under the stars or something?
Okay, you're getting closer.
Well, that's what I meant, big, as in, like, universe big.
It's
as in, like,
something to do with, like, space or weather.
Okay. So it's sometimes. Is it snow? Is it having sex in snow?
No, it is not. Okay, the next guess is going to be a final guess. Okay,
okay. So, it's not having sex under the stars, is it? Having sex? No.
No, but that's quite beautiful, and I wish it was.
Well, because
I'm deaf. I would, if that was the case, I would be a nebulophiliac.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, find me someone who isn't a nebulophiliac.
But I guess it's more like it would be a fetish. Like having sex under the stars is something that's quite romantic.
Yeah,
but not sexual.
Why is it not sexual?
Well, I don't know, the idea of having sex outside, but like what, like the stars?
No, but under the stars specifically.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get like, oh yeah, look at that. Like the stars don't give me a hard on.
No, but maybe one day it'll get to that. That's all that's left. It's just the whole universe is the only thing that arouses you.
Sure,
you've gone through everything else,
and this is all that's left.
I'm a nebulophiliac. This is all I've got left.
Okay, so
tell us, what is it?
No, I'm giving you one last clue, and okay. It's weather. It's weather, Joe. I want you to get this.
Okay. Clouds. This nebula is a type of cloud.
It's not.
No. Columbus.
No.
Columbus Nimbus.
You're just saying words now.
Stratus.
Nebulophilia is the arousal to fog.
Fog?
Fog. Do you remember now?
No. This was years ago, to be fair.
It was years ago.
We haven't spoken about arousal to fog for quite some years.
That was your reaction last time as well.
The girl stick in my mind. Fog.
Fog.
Foggy London town.
Foggy London town. And like, I wouldn't be aroused by the fog itself, but the idea of like going out in the mystery of the fog and maybe like having sex out in the fog, and the fog could clear at any moment and you'd get caught.
Oh, the danger.
The danger of it.
The danger,
like,
the unpredictability.
That's really hot.
Yeah, but the fog?
The fog.
The fog itself.
Fog specifically.
Wow.
I love that there are words for these things. Like, this means that they're real, and there's many, many people out there who are into these things.
Someone has, like, a nebulophiliac dungeon where they just, like, have a smoke machine.
Oh, my God.
And it's just...
That sounds hot.
Yeah, well...
Maybe I'm a nebulophiliac.
Let's start the business right now.
Okay, do another spin. This is your last spin.
Go.
This is the really, really long one. Takes a while. Ooh. Ooh. Are you ready? Let's go a few more seconds.
This is award-winning stuff right here.
I know, it makes great radio, doesn't it? All right, it has landed on frotteurism. Frotteurism.
Wait, but frotching is a...
Frottage is masturbating with two penises. Placing two penises together and wanking them off at the same time. That is frottage or frotting, if you don't want to use the French. This is not this. But there is a clue in that. And I think the clue is in the word frot, and that means something in French, I believe.
Right, okay.
Or Latin, or, you know.
And that relates to what frottaging is.
Yes, exactly.
This is the hardest test I've done since school.
Yeah. And well, you got one, right?
I know, that's about representative of my school career right there. Okay, frottaging is...
No, we know what frotteurism.
Frotteurism is the sexual attraction to... isn't Frot a character in Guardians of the Galaxy?
You're not close, Joe.
Okay. Just put me out of my misery.
You are absolutely
not close.
Put me
out of my wheel of misfortune.
Frotteurism is the arousal to touching a stranger surreptitiously in a crowded place.
Like a tube. I've met a few of them.
But I would... I feel like that's probably not allowed. That's definitely...
We are definitely nowhere near endorsing this.
Yeah, you
as
can't
a, like, credible
just go
thing.
And touch strangers.
Just shrug and say, frottageism.
Yeah, that's a naughty thing. Like, I can understand why people would be attracted to
the
that.
The concept of it, if you want to create that environment where it feels like that, then sure, but still get someone's permission before you start kissing strangers.
Yeah, the amount of times I've been in a gay club and someone has just grabbed my ass frotteurism isn't in me. Too many times.
So next time someone does it, just go, hey, frotteurism, no.
Frotteurism. Sit yourself down.
They will be so
not
confused
allowed.
They'll walk away and it will legitimately stop.
All right, let's have a little bit more music. Back.
Hi.
Joe was not prepared. Threw him off guard there. Okay, we are going to do the next section, which is queers throughout the years. In this segment, I am going to read Joe some facts from LGBT plus history.
Okay.
And some of them are going to be true and some of them are going to be completely fabricated and made up. And you're going to have to try and figure out which ones are true and which ones are false.
Okay.
Do you understand the rules, Joe?
I've got this one. I'm ready.
You've got this one? So there are five here, and I want you to get five out of five.
I will.
Or that is going to be the termination of our friendship.
It should be, like, strip.
Strip. Okay, yeah, Joe is going to take his clothes off for everyone he gets
wrong. The webcam gets adjusted.
I'm going to capture this all for the Twitter later. Right, okay. So the first one is a drag ball that took place in the 1880s went to such lengths to protect the identities of the party guests that they even hired blind musicians.
Do you know what? I believe this is true.
You do?
I do. And I've just been getting a bit further into the sort of history of LGBT people and learning so much about how they used to get away with things. Because I've always had a question, like, we're not new, so what did we do before it was more socially acceptable as it is today? And I reckon that's true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I am going to...
Yes!
You are correct. Yeah, it absolutely is true.
Keeping my clothes on, folks.
In specific, they hired a blind accordion player.
Amazing.
Yeah, and everyone dressed up. They had the bouncer was dressed as a nun, and they had, you know, the blind accordion player, and they really went to extreme lengths to protect people.
Has anyone done a blind orchestra since then?
I do not know.
Oh my god, I'm still stealing that for work. Nobody,
blind orchestra.
Nobody. This never happened. This conversation never happened. Everyone forget that idea.
There is actually an amazing movie called Mr. Holland's Opus. I don't know if you've ever seen that, and
it's
about a man, and his passion is for music, and his life's work is into making these amazing songs for orchestra, and he is also a music teacher, and he ends up having a son who's deaf, and he wants to try and share his passion and his love with his son. So he can't because his son's deaf. So he goes out of his way to find a way to recreate music in a way that his deaf child can appreciate it by using lights and visuals. And
love that.
You actually took me to a
deaf nightclub
once.
Thank you for referencing that. Oh my God, do you remember?
Yeah, of course.
And that
I
was
remember.
A similar thing. They had lights, there was music, there was vibrations, there was even food and smells and stuff. Can I tell the story about that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely tell the story.
So we go to this this club night, which was done for a company called Sensity, which is S-C-E-N-I-T-Y. And it was a club night for deaf kids. And so the idea was they get so few opportunities to go out and party. So we did this for them. And as you said, it had like an aroma jockey, which meant there was a lady at the front of the room with these like with a massive fan and creating these concoctions that came out. And there was lights, there was music, there was vibrations outside of the main sort of dance floor. We had set up this sort of demonstration of smells and different ways to arouse your taste and things.
Oh my God, yeah, I forgot
and
about this bit.
Here we go. And so, and the concept was that it went through a night out. So that it started with like, you know, you sort of you lean in, you'd smell and it would be like aftershave or something.
And hairspray.
And hairspray. And the next one would be mouthwash, it's the last thing to do before you go out. And then the next one would be a sort of bit of sambuca.
Tequila shots.
Tequila shots. And then maybe like a kebab. And the last one we all got to and we were like, what is? And there was about like seven of us on this night out, and I was at the very front, and Callum was at the very back of this lineup, and so he was still on like mouthwash. Maybe he was just about to come out, and we were all like the first three of us got a smell of whatever this last one was, and they're hidden in a box. They don't know what they are, and we're smelling it, and we're like, what is that? And then literally for the back of the room, we hear Callum go, "Someone's come. I can smell." I can smell semen. And we're like, oh my God, it's semen. And the lady's like, yep, yes it is.
You can smell it from a mile
honestly,
away.
Honestly, like a bloodhound.
And it had a name, this specific chemical.
It did.
A name. It was spermidine? I think it was spermidine.
You think it was, let's check your eBay history. What have you been buying?
I've got spermidine candles in my house.
Yeah. Love it.
Right, okay. Your next fact or not fact is... Dracula was originally written to be a gay man.
Now. There's a lot of... Yeah, I'm going to say false on this one, but I think there's a connection somewhere between Dracula and gay men and something.
Okay.
Something shrouded in maybe secrecy. I don't know. I'm going to say false. Oh, yes, great.
You are absolutely right. It is false, and there is a connection. So it's not actually to gay men. Uh-huh. It's actually to lesbians. So... Carmilla, a story of a young lesbian vampire that preyed on women, was written 25 years before Dracula. So you could actually argue that your original big vampire story wasn't Dracula. It was Carmilla.
Oh, my God. Make that film.
Lesbian.
Make that film right now.
Maybe they have. I wonder if they have made it into a film.
I feel
they
like I've
should
heard of
made
it.
That, make that into a film. I would be so into a lesbian vampire.
What was the other business we had earlier? After we finished that, we're doing this. We're making this movie.
Oh, I forgot what the other business was. It was something to do with sex. Fog machines. Fog machine dungeons.
Fog machine and dungeons.
Great business ideas.
And we could use a fog machine for the film as well. We are, you know, economies of scale here.
We're tying this in. Yeah, we're doing really well here. All right, you're 2 for 2, Joe.
Yes.
I think you can get 5 out of 5.
Come on.
All your clothes are still on. I really want to get you naked, I reckon. Because if you get 3 wrong, that's shirt off, jeans off, pants off.
Any man's game right now.
Right, okay. Number 3. A famous serial killer was nicknamed the Doodler because he would target gay men and draw them nude before he killed them.
Hmm.
And presumably this dates back quite far.
Okay.
If it is true.
Okay. It feels like it could be true.
Yeah.
And the doodler. I'm going to go the opposite and say false.
Definitely going to say false.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah. I'm going to say false.
Is that what
you're going to
say?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Clothes off.
There's a doodler.
There was a doodler, and I think the interesting thing about this one is that it sounds so cutesy and funny, like oh the doodler. He was actually murdering people. He was actually a serial killer. And there's actually
it's easy to forget that when someone's
such a called cool nickname. The doodler.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to take it seriously. But actually, there's actually quite a sad story behind this, and that is actually that. Some of his victims escaped. At least 3 of his victims were known to escape.
And then there was like a picture of them looking ugly naked.
Well,
is that the sad story?
No, the sad story is that they survived, but they were afraid to go ahead to the police. Joe's giggling away.
I'm not. This is serious. Stop it.
They survived, but they... Have you quite finished over there? So they survived, but they were...
stop. This is about death and
it
life.
It is about death. So, yeah, they survived, but they were afraid to come forwards because they would be outing themselves in the process.
Oh,
so the
course.
Doodler was actually never caught. He got away with it.
What year was this? Do we know?
A long time ago.
Oh, I can't find him.
We're talking hundreds of years
ago. I was ready to go out and find him.
No, he's not like around now.
I mean...
All right.
I was ready at least.
So you've got your top off.
Oh, well, no, I'll... Do shoes count?
No, shoes don't count.
Socks?
Socks don't count.
Something has to count here.
All right, your fourth one is... Experiments on hippos have shown that gay hippos are up to 10 times as aggressive as their heterosexual counterparts.
So true.
You think?
Without a doubt.
You think that's true?
Yes.
Yeah? You are wrong.
Oh, come on.
Gay hippos are not any more aggressive than their heterosexual counterparts.
So me and my partner have a massive disagreement about whether hippos are cute, cuddly, which I'm like so in favour of.
Sure.
Whenever I go to the zoo, I'm like, look, it's the one from Madagascar. Let's hang out with her.
Yeah.
And he's like, it will literally rip your face off.
Yeah, hippos are violent.
Oh, you're on his side.
I'm on his side. Well, I've got a little fact for you here as well, written down here in my notes, because I thought this may come up. Hippos, mosquitoes aside... Hippos.
Where is this going?
Hippos kill more people than any other animal every single year. They kill They kill on average 2,900 people a year.
More than lions.
More than lions. Lions kill like nobody.
No, but cows kill people when they fall.
Cows kill people.
Are cows on the list?
I think cows are actually third.
Wow.
But a lot of those is to do with like traffic injuries in particular places like India.
Keep it light, Callum. Keep it light.
Yeah, keep it. But yeah, 2,900 people killed by hippos.
It sounds scary, but then you think of them, they're second on a list of biggest killers to mosquitoes. And I'm like, just a bit of spray would help. Like, you know. You don't sound that threatening when you're second to mosquitoes.
But people often think like great white sharks, for instance, but they only kill like...
They are petrifying.
They kill like two or three
people
a year.
You have a fight with a great white shark then.
Well, no, but I reckon I'd rather have a fight with a shark than a hippo. On land.
But again, because hippos are cuddly. Guys, honestly, go to the zoo, find a hippo and hug a hippo. Exactly. Hug a hippo, you'll be fine.
But when they get big, they have big, massive teeth and like they're big, heavy, muscly dudes.
Yeah, but no, they're like sassy women. Like, you know, like they click and they're hippos.
They're hippos.
Yeah, they're fun.
I think your idea of hippos is warped.
It's. I mean, go to the zoo, hug a hippo, you tell me.
All right, so you've got two wrong, so that means you're down to your underwear now, Joe.
Jeez.
So, you know, if you get this last one wrong, we're going to see the goods.
Wow, okay, this is important.
It is very important. Okay, quiche was originally part of the secret gay language Polari and was used to describe things that were exceptionally delicious. When a gay chef invented the dish, he named it quiche in celebration.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So the language I know exists.
Yes, so Polari was a language that was used in the kind of the 1920s, and it was a way that gay people could communicate with each other without letting straight people know because there was a lot of homophobes.
Yeah.
You know, it was illegal in a lot of places, so it was a way that they could communicate without outing themselves as gay.
Am I right? Is this the same thing as the other thing that wasn't always verbal? So it was often like having a
handkerchief
in a certain...
Yeah.
Is it the same thing or is it different?
It's a bit different because Polari was used so that gay men could have conversations about anything under the sun. They could be chatting about fashion. Right. They could be chatting about the news, the weather.
Yeah.
And they had this secret language. Whereas the handkerchief code was more rooted in sex. So it was the idea if you wore a yellow handkerchief in your back left pocket, that meant you liked to get peed on.
Right.
Etc.
Exactly.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we had a lot of hidden languages and the handkerchief code was one and Polari was one.
So this again is what we're talking about just a few moments ago about how gay people would adapt their lives to be able to kind of live similar ways to what we do now, but having to do it kind of under some shrouded like secret language or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that this is probably true, and I want you to tell me that quiche Lorraine was invented by someone watching Lorraine at the same time.
You are wrong.
Here we go.
Just completely made that up.
I'm totally naked.
Take them off, Joe. No. Take off the underwear.
Oh, okay.
It's really disappointing. It's really I've waited for years for this. I'm really, really let down. Right, put your clothes back on.
Okay,
let's have a little song.
Sheila goes out with her mate Stella. It gets poured all over her fella, 'cause she says Manny ain't no better.
Then the next man kicking up fuss. Drunk, she stumbles down by a river. Screams calling London. None of us heard her coming. I guess the carpet weren't rolled out. To the gringo. Anytime she sing a song, the other girls sing along and tell all the fellas that the lady is single. Fickle way to tickle on my young man's tickle. She's up for doing what she like any day, more like the night. She drowned drunk swords that she stole or borrowed. She didn't like fights, but at the same time understood fellas will be fellas to the end of time.
Good heavens, you boys. Blue-blooded murder of the English tongue.
Jack had a gang that he called the Many Grams. He was known as Smack Jack, the Cracker Man. In life he was dealt some hands, but the boy's got the back now. And Jay went the same way as Mickey and Dan. The pen and man's upon the arrow ones. And my Lisa had a baby with Sam. And now Jack's on his own, man. Well done, Jack, lock down that side. You're right, she's a f- and you'll never f- like to, not like what, he stopped so shocked, cause it turns out her last dance killed a Pied Piper. And Sheila goes out with her mate Stella, it gets poured all over her fella, cause she says money ain't no better than the next man kicking up bus. Drunk she stumbles down by the river, screams calling London, none of us heard her coming, guess the carpet weren't rolled out.
It's over, man, it's over.
So this is a short story about the girl Georgina. Never seen a worse, a clean young mess. Under stress at best, but she pleased to see her. With love, God bless, we lay her body to rest. Now it all did started with daddy's alcoholic. Lightweight chicken down, numbing his brain. And the doctor said he couldn't get the heart did started. Now beat up, drugged up, she feeling a strain. She says, when I fall, no one catch me. Alone, lonely, I love her, don't slowly get scared. I'll scream and shout. But you know it won't matter, she'll be passing out. I said, giggity biggity up, but just another day. Another sad story, let's charge a day. Paramedic announced death for 10:30. Rip it up, kick it, spit up the views. Sheila goes out with her mate Stella. It gets poured all over her fella. Cause she says money ain't no better than the next man kicking up bus. Drunk, she stumbles down by a river. Screams calling London. None of us heard her coming. I guess the carpet weren't rolled. And Sheila goes out with her mate Stella. It gets pulled all over her fella. Cause she says money ain't no better than the next man kicking up bus. Drunk she stumbles down by a river. Screams calling London. None of us heard her coming. I guess the carpet weren't rolled out.
FUBAR Radio presents
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Local gossip. I'm going to be talking to my mum.
There's this family living along here, the Dingles, and they have this obsession of collecting rusty cars, you know, and they look like, the family look like, you know those hillbillies from Deliverance? Well, they look like that. You know, they're just a bloody nightmare. And we all just get sick of them, you know. We all just wish they'd die, but, you know.
Say that!
Every Tuesday,
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons
from 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
All right, so we're going to be doing sex confessions in a little bit.
Yes, so, our original creation.
Yeah, and in light of that, I wanted to be a little bit early and give one of my sex confessions now.
One of yours?
One of mine.
Gosh.
Basically, we just had some music by Jamie T there, Sheila.
We were sharing our love of Jamie T.
We were talking about Jamie T and how much we love him. But what I didn't tell you about Jamie T was that when I was a teenager, when I was like 17, 18 years old, I had an enormous crush on him.
Understandable.
We're talking an immense crush on him. And I actually used to play his music, and because his voice... there's something so sexy about his voice, because it's a little bit dirty. It's like, it's Cockney, right? His accent? Is it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like London, somewhere London. And it's dirty, so I actually maybe used to spend some private masturbation time.
Wow.
Thinking about him and his voice.
It's amazing that a song can do that.
Yeah, and I feel like he's probably... Him and Shawn Mendes, just their voices.
Really?
Their voices.
They are poles apart, though.
I know, they're completely different, but there's something, I don't know, there's something about their voices that gets me.
Music, I could never just get off to that.
That's... But his songs are so, like, visual. Like, when he's singing, you can really see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It does it for me.
Okay, fair enough.
It works
for me. You should never go see him live, though, because there is a restraining order just waiting to happen.
All right, we're going to be playing Porn or Not Porn.
Yes, I've been so looking forward to this.
So in this game, I am going to play Joe 5 audio clips, and he's going to have to figure out if they are porn or not porn. And this week is National...
So some of them are completely innocent.
Some are completely innocent and some are from adult films.
Some are okay.
And because it's National Cupcake Week this week, right, these are all going to be either from cookery shows or porn films.
Wow. Yeah. Bring on the bake-off.
Bring on the bake-off. Okay, so your first porn or not porn is...
Ah, that's it.
That's it?
That's it. Okay.
That's your clip.
Okay, I'm envisaging some sort of... No, yeah. I am almost fairly certain that this is MasterChef Series 4.
Sure.
And it's Celebrity MasterChef Season 4. Anita Rani is bashing out a piece of dough.
That is very specific.
It's correct, though, isn't it?
Joe, I would be so happy with you if this were correct.
It's right. Go on.
But no.
What? That's porn.
Be more wrong. That is porn.
That is someone
that
hard.
That is porn.
Oh, wow.
And, wow, yeah. I would love to know what this is from. If our lovely producer could tell us what this was from, that would be great.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. And we're gonna share this.
All right. It's something too dirty. For my little eyes, says our lovely Abby, says this. So sorry for exposing you to that, Abby.
But that is porn.
That is porn.
Can we hear it one more time?
Yes, we absolutely can. It's like somebody being bed against a wall or something like that, isn't
it? Oh, I see. So it's not necessarily... It's not like, I mean... Wait, this way.
Yeah, fat. That's a good noise, Joe. I'm not very good at it. All right, are you ready for your next one?
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Was that not the Wheel of Misfortune again?
No, that wasn't.
Now, I've seen some porn where there's like machinery involved.
Okay, yeah.
And I feel like this could be that.
So are we thinking like Benny Benassi Satisfaction music video?
Where
all the women are on the power tools.
Yeah.
Quite sexy.
I didn't hear no like chat debate tokens going in the background, so I'm gonna say no. I'm still gonna say porn on this one.
You think this one's porn?
It's porn again. Ah, two for two.
Are wrong. It is Nigella Lawson using a food processor.
Let's be honest. That is porn.
It is food
for
porn.
For any man, woman, regardless of sexuality. Nige making like a creme brulee. Oh.
And she's very vocal about her food, isn't she?
She knows what she's doing.
Of course she does.
Do not for a second think that she is not looking down that camera lens, like squeezing her cleavage together, dropping in some baking powder and being like, oh, I'm just going to give this a stir.
I think she's the sexiest woman alive. I if I was a straight man.
Do you remember when we put her forward for the Eurovision? She gave our results, and I was like, that is it. We have peaked as a country.
That's it. We're done now.
Everyone was like, oh my God, Brexit. I was like, yeah, but remember that time we put Nigella forward for Eurovision? They were like, okay, all is right with the world. It's fine.
All right. Your next one is.
Okay. So this. Either way this goes, this is either in the realm of somebody washing up something.
Yeah, sure.
Or someone in the realm of water sports.
Yeah, it does. I can hear water sports. And there's a little bit of rustling going on, which could...
It is. Could be many things.
Could be many
things. But there is quite the stream. Baking.
You think this is definitely baking?
It's baking porn.
See, now you've got two. You've got two wrong, Joe.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to get a third wrong, would you?
If I get this wrong, I am devastated.
Sorry about it. 0 out of 3.
That's porn.
That is porn. That is absolutely porn. I think you're right. I think it's water sports. Someone getting peed on, isn't it?
That's That's a lot.
Yeah, I think
that's
it sounds
a lot.
Good.
Whatever it is,
I think it sounds like a good time.
I think it could be sizzling butter in a porn film.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing against, you know.
Is that what it is?
Oh my god! Is that actually true? So this is actually.
I might have read that.
Sizzling butter in a porn film.
Well, that's cheating. Come on. So I was right. Technically, it's a baking. It's a baking porn.
It's a baking.
Baking
porn.
Within porn.
That was a red herring.
I was right.
Well,
hit the ting. Hit the ting.
Fine.
There we go. Thank you.
All right. Okay, your next one is.
Oh. Okay. Mmm.
Are you in this porno?
There's music going on, which doesn't necessarily divide it either way, because a lot of time.
Could be either or.
Why is porn music so shit, though?
Mmm. Because it's like stock music, isn't it? They buy it really cheap and then
just
whack it
over the top. No one's ever having sex to that music. And if you're not covering up what you're doing. No one outside is going, oh, that's okay. He's listening to smooth jazz from the 80s. There's nothing untoward going on in that room.
I think maybe it comes from like when, I don't know, when the beginning of the adult industry began. I don't know when that was. Maybe like it was all low budget, so all the films were kind of terrible. And then that kind of became part of the porn genre. Like if I clicked on a porn video now, yeah, and it was like super high produced and the acting was really good, I'd be like, no.
Would you?
Yeah, I would be like, I want that tacky.
I am all about the story.
I want that bad acting.
I want like good 7 minutes of storyline. Yeah. I want like an episode of Hollyoaks and then it gets into it.
Well, I must say, like when you're watching like a proper movie, yeah, and then like half an hour in, you're really invested in the character and next minute he gets his dick out, it's like, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
oh my God.
Oh my God, I'm so turned on.
Can I? Yeah, so this I find really, really strange as a beyond my 20s LGBT man that, when I've watched a film and there's been like a gay love scene in that, I have been like, whoa, this is hot.
It's really
like,
hot.
Almost,
yeah,
regardless of like who they are, right? And then it occurred to me that I was like, straight people see this every single day. Like every film ever. Like whenever there's a straight sex scene, I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's just, this is the bit we have to. It's like clicking the 5 second skip ad on like YouTube.
Sure.
Which obviously I don't do on your videos, but like, but it's like, I'm like, straight people get that messaging all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, that would be a lot.
But I
would
feel,
be a bit of a maniac if that was, or maybe that's why, I don't know.
I think you're more excited and turned on by it because you are a gay man and because we don't get that kind of exposure. For us to, yeah, see a gay kiss, even today in 2017, for us to see even a gay kiss in television, in a movie, wherever it is, it's actually, yeah, still a big deal. Every time I see that, I still get excited because, mm-hmm, we don't get that kind of representation.
It's the holding hands in the street again. We're like, oh my God, there it is.
Exactly.
And yet straight people potentially are desensitized to it.
Yeah, I think they definitely are.
But and still, you still would get, there'd be an emotive response to it, right?
I don't. Yeah, maybe.
Because you still have a response to porn, and yet,
yeah,
you
true.
Watch that 4 times a day.
Five, actually. we've gone way off the game.
Sorry. But it's good. It's starting.
Noise.
Okay, porn.
Porn? You think this is porn?
No, I think it's baking. Yeah,
yeah, it is baking. It's Jamie Oliver whipping some eggs.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. All right.
I was so disappointed the first time. Sorry, I'm just going to keep talking.
You can talk as much as you want, Jamie. That's why you're here.
I remember putting on Naked Chef. I remember staying up to like 11 o'clock once and seeing it on Channel 4,
yeah,
putting it on and then being disappointed.
So disappointed.
I was like, what is this?
The first time I heard Naked Chef, I also thought I was going to get a Naked Chef.
That's why he's such a big deal now. You realize that?
Yeah, because everyone watched his television program wanting to see his wang.
Exactly.
he was kind of a hottie when he was a bit younger as well. Like,
he owes us some free facility or something.
Nobody owes you anything, Joe. It's not how it works. All right, your last one is. We haven't had any moan sounds this week. We usually have a lot of moaning.
Lots of whisks, I think.
A lot of whisks this week.
Okay.
What do you think?
So currently, we're kind of 2 for 2, right? So this is the breaker.
This is the breaking, yeah.
Okay.
You're going to have to get naked if you get this one wrong again.
Porn.
You think this is porn?
Yeah. Oh, come
pants
on.
Pants off, Joe. Pants off, Joe.
Again?
Get them off.
Just right. Put them back on.
It's Gordon Ramsay peeling some ginger.
Let's hear it again.
Do you think if we put them all together, it'll sound like a porno?
Do it.
Should I just like mash them all? Does that work? Will I break the system? We've got the slot machine going as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's how all my climaxes end. All right. We are going to be doing a little bit more music, but we're gonna do some sex confessions
after
that.
This is the main event. I cannot wait.
This is my favourite part of the show. So we have had some amazing sex confessions in so far. So please,
have we really?
We've got some really, really good ones.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited.
But if you do want to get any last minute sex confessions in, do send them in to callum@fubarradio.com. And we will be reacting to those straight after this little song from Galantis.
Sleepless nights at the chateau. Visualize it.
I'll give it something to do.
Coach, coach, wherever we go. Visualize it.
I'll give it something to do.
To get a wildfire burning. Visualize it.
I'll give it something to do.
Ain't high and going all in. Visualize.
Jelly there from Galantis, one of my favourite songs.
Great track, well done.
So, Joe, we are going to do sex confessions now.
Yes.
But before we start, I want you to confess something, and that is what happened earlier before we began the show.
Literally, the thing that with the guy.
With the what happened,
Joe?
Oh my
God. So we were chatting, and there was. So Radio Studio has like a glass window between it and you can see the people next door in the room.
Yes.
And there was a model next door who's also a presenter on the previous show, right?
His name's Reese and he's on the show before us.
And I was just casually chatting to Callum and was like, oh, who's that? Who's the handsome fellow? Who's the tall handsome dude outside? And he was told me. And then I went, oh, yeah. And I was like, isn't it funny? You always never really know with Radio Studios, like, whether they've got monitors on next door and they can hear you. And then you sort of nodded and smiled. And then I looked to my right and all of them were looking at me going, we can hear you. So, yeah.
I'm sensing maybe a future romance there.
No, he was like 7 foot tall.
He's a beautiful man. He's a beautiful man. Shout out to Reese.
Big shout out.
Okay, let's jump straight into some sex confessions. So, your first one is, I've been having sex with my best friend, and we are starting to have a relationship, but he's got a girlfriend. Everyone thinks he's straight, but he is gay. He does not want to come out because of his parents. They are homophobic. What should I do? Because I don't know. I don't want to out him, but I also can't keep it hidden anymore. It kills me to see him with his girlfriend. I think this is incredibly relatable. I think, like, most gay men, I think, have a story like this. I certainly, you know, I had a massive, massive crush on my best friend when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, even I kind of like fooled around with him and stuff at times. And, you know, he had a girlfriend as well. And it's a really, really tricky, difficult situation.
That's just one layer of this as well. There is a lot going on in this message.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, first of all, they've been having sex with their friend.
Yeah.
And I'm going to presume that they're slightly younger, but that this is a scenario that could happen at any age.
I know people that are
40 plus that are actually in similar situations, and that again, it's the societal advances that are allowing them to come out and be a bit more of themselves.
Yeah.
But also, but it's more common, I would say, amongst younger people with experimentation, especially if they have a girlfriend rather than like a long-term relationship, suggests perhaps they're slightly younger. But there's also the thing about their parents, that he doesn't want to come out to his parents because they're homophobic. So the message suggests that the person is gay,
mm-hmm.
but is potentially covering that up with a girlfriend.
I mean, there's also the possibility, I know it says here that the guy, he is gay, but I guess there potentially is the possibility that he's bisexual or even straight and experimenting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't completely rule it out. So,
gosh. So I guess to the person who sent this in, there's no name on it, so I can't address them directly, but I guess I would say give it some time.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, because that will kind of sort everything out. And especially if you're young, if you're not young, then still give it some time, because someone's probably going through that. And try not to get too attached. Honestly, it sounds like it's not necessarily something that it sounds like a bit of a difficult situation to be involved in. Like, help that person if they need that help, and don't make the situation any harder, but just be wary of what's going on and the different pushes and pulls that's going on in that person's life at the moment, and how not to get yourself too caught up in that.
Yeah, I would completely agree with Joe. I think it's important to be there for your friend and not to abandon your friend and be there for them with whatever they need, but also try and give yourself that a little bit of emotional distance, just because you don't know how this is going to pan out. This could pan out in so many different ways that could be so hurtful to you, and I would hate to see that happen. So do protect yourself. I would try and take a step back, but
Well, and the one more thing to add to that, I think if the guy's parents are homophobic, the best thing he needs is some independence. That was the biggest thing for me and for a lot of people, is dependence on your parents and their way of life and them literally feeding you and putting a roof over your head can cause you to not be yourself. And that's the worst thing in the world. So as soon as you can encourage them to do different things, whether it's moving, whether it's getting a job, whatever it is, get that independence. And that gives you then the power to be able to go back and go, this is who I am. If you can't accept it, then I'm really sorry. It's my life and I want to live it. And that's it, really. And then when they do that, they'll have a much clearer vision of what they want in the future.
Absolutely. That's tremendous advice, Joe.
Thank you.
This is why we call you sex expert Joe.
Thank you.
All right, the next one. When I was a young boy, I had a great idea to wank over a crush of mine in the toilet. I decided to do it in the disabled one because it was bigger and nobody used it. I was mid-wank when my crush walked in. To my surprise, he decided to help me. We were both 15 at the time, and we never spoke after that event.
Oh.
And it's been sent in by Horny Aardvark.
So this is to give some, if you're just joining us, that was a request of mine from a video that Callum and I had done where requests were sent in with an adjective and an animal.
Horny Aardvark is a good choice.
It's fitting.
It is fitting. Wow, so... I mean, good for you. Like, what are the chances of you going into the disabled bathroom, deciding to pop one out while thinking about this boy?
Boy? Oh, they knew.
Yeah.
They knew.
And then suddenly the boy comes in and...
Yeah, I remember.
Gives
I
you
remember,
a helping hand.
I remember my school days. And did you do stuff at school?
No.
No, I did.
No. Oh, did you now?
Yeah.
Well, sixth form. Does that count?
My school was... Yeah.
Kind of conjoined. I didn't do anything until sixth form.
Yeah, so I didn't do anything until sixth form.
Yeah.
But in school was first experimental ground to do stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, can relate. Congrats, I guess.
I think congratulations are in order.
Well done, Ronnie Aardvark.
Really,
you've
do.
Earned that name.
Yeah.
Well and truly. This is when you were both 15. So I want to know where you're at now. What's happened since?
Yeah, but also it says they never spoke again after that, which makes me kind of sad.
Sorry, wait, I didn't.
Well, no, we're celebrating, but I feel like it's. I feel like they're happy. I feel like they're sharing this story.
Oh, well, you know what? You need that moment sometimes. Yeah, I have individual circumstance events similar to Horny Aardvark here that I treasure. But they were very much firmly in my youth, and I'm happy to sort of leave them there.
Mm.
But yeah, but maybe to person before, this is the kind of thing, you know, if it is just that, then it's just that sometimes.
You know what I love about this? Is that the guy walked in on him masturbating over him. So do you know like when you're talking about somebody behind their back and you say their ears are burning.
Oh, they're right behind me, aren't they?
So if you're masturbating, does somebody's their genitals burn?
Do their genitals
if somebody's
burn?
Having a wank over you, do you just feel like a little tingling downstairs?
I mean, listen, you should 50-60 go get yourself checked out if your genitals are burning. Do not be like, Oh yeah,
somebody's masturbating
I'm
over
in somebody's
me.
Mind right now.
Yeah, no, please do pop yourself down to the clinic if your genitals are burning. It's not the best thing to happen. All right, this next one is nice and simple. I once sucked off my teacher. It was good though. presumably of age, presumably like sixth form teacher, university teacher, let's just say it is.
No, I know people at uni who've hooked up with their teachers.
I also do.
That's weird.
A very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Well, we'll not be saying their name on air, but
no.
They absolutely did.
Still works there.
Yeah, like, good for you. Like, I used to have all kinds of fantasies about my teachers.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, it's an obvious sort of route to go down. It's the power thing. There's lots of different, we've talked about this before on a video, I know.
Yes, and you kept saying the teacher's name and I had to bleep it like 50
oh
times.
Oh my God, I did. But the teacher that you had a crush on, not me.
That I had a crush on, yeah.
You know what's great? This is live
no,
radio.
No, you do not remember. You do not remember his name. Do not do that.
Mr.
Get away from my soundboard. Get your fingers away from it.
I mean, yeah. Great. Well done. We all got grades somehow.
Yeah. I hope you got all A's.
What's the next one?
When I was younger, I used to love girls' jewellery, but I never had the confidence to buy it myself, so I used to steal my sister's. One day, I was wearing one of her necklaces on a date, and we ended up doing things. Well, let's just say that stuff got all over the necklace. We cleaned it and put it back, but every time we see her wearing the necklace, we laugh and laugh, and it winds her up so much, and she doesn't know why. And that was sent in by Dirty Monkey.
Thank you for giving us some names. Dirty Monkey, let's talk about this. So she said when she was younger that she loved girls' jewellery, but never the confidence to buy it, and then she was wearing her sister's. So it's a girl, right?
I'm not sure it matters the gender of the person involved.
That's been presumptuous. I thought I'd read a female.
Some kind of semen or vaginal juices or some kind of sexual stuff got all over the necklace.
I mean,
I wouldn't be able to like let my sister wear that necklace.
But do you have any outfits that you've done stuff in that you're like that someone has maybe borrowed and you're like, oh, if only you knew?
Every single outfit I own.
Oh,
every single outfit. Well, sometimes
I've
even
sat on your sofa. Please don't tell me.
Well, I was literally about to say like some of the blankets and things in my house, like when I've got guests over for a nice dinner party.
I know what pillow you're thinking about, and I've hugged that pillow. That damn emoji pillow has been near me.
It's been thoroughly washed.
It ain't winking anymore, is it?
All right, well done, Dirty Monkey. You are a very dirty person indeed. All right, how many have we got left? Is this just one more?
Callum, would you like to give us a confession?
I already gave you my confession. It was about Jamie T. Remember?
Oh.
It was like jerking off to Jamie T.
I think that's allowed.
That counts as
a
confession.
I just felt bad. I opened up and got nothing. I felt, but the Jamie T one's good.
Yeah. Okay, we have a couple more here. So, I once slept with my best friend's brother. She still doesn't know. We are still BFFs. And then they've said it feels good to say this here.
I bet.
So they're getting it off their chest.
Yeah,
because obviously they haven't opened up about
this. This is an exclusive right here.
Oh, I don't know. Like, is it that bad to sleep with your best friend's brother? Like, I know, I've had friends and things where they've ended up in relationships.
Well,
with
exactly. There are supposedly rules. Not, I mean, and there, but you know, you, it's not necessarily rules. It's just kind of respectable boundaries.
Sure.
But I mean, it depends what your relationships are like. Like, we both probably know people that who have ended up with siblings, friends, or whatnot that have worked out and that have had happy marriages. And you know, full on families, which is fantastic. So I would say, yeah, that, absolutely. If you've slept with your best friend's brother, then do they need to know? I guess that's one of the points they made, right? They don't, that their brother doesn't know.
I feel like maybe that's why it feels wrong, naughty, because it is a secret. I feel like if you were open about it wouldn't necessarily be an issue. Unless the friends have like expressed that before, like, oh God, like, please don't have sex with my brother or something. I think. Not that that's something you say to your friend. No. I don't know. If one of my friends had sex with my brother, I think I would high five them. I'd be like, good job. Well done.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent work.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to discuss it, but I, you know, if they're both happy and consenting, then all power to them. Like, go and, you know, get your rocks off.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah.
I'm sure they'll have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. This is our final one, Joe.
Is it good?
Yes, they're all good.
Is it long or short?
It's short.
Okay, good. Let's go.
I really love it when my boyfriend comes on my back and takes snaps. I look at them when he works away. Snaps as in presumably Snapchats, right?
Yeah.
Or pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or they're really old and it's pictures because all people say snaps.
I
took some snaps.
Yeah, let's presume this is an older person.
But then
well.
Snapchats... are ephemeral.
Snapchats are ephemeral. Good choice. Good,
good
word.
Choice of, thank you.
Good word there, Joe.
Three desperados in. He's still using the word ephemeral.
Yeah, but you can save down a snap. You can take a screenshot of a snap.
True.
But I think they must mean photographs, presumably. And like, I get that. Like, that's like watching back a sexual encounter you've had. And
yeah, that's great. And I love the fact that their partner is away and they're still getting off to them. That shows a really healthy relationship. Where they're totally into each other. Not that if you don't do that, you're not, but it's just a great sexual energy between the two of them. It's fantastic to see that.
Well, I kind of, like somebody said to me recently, wouldn't it be amazing if you had the ability to kind of, like Black Mirror style, if you had the ability to watch back any sexual encounter you've ever had?
So Black Mirror, the one with the eyes where it like Sky
where
Plus,
you
it
can
records
rewind yourself.
And rewind
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And see the memories and stuff.
And when they first said this to me, I was like, oh my God, this is absolutely amazing. I would love to be able to watch back all of my sexual encounters because...
All of them?
Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. Because
what about Mr...
That was the wrong button. But I think about them like I think about old sexual encounters and it'd be amazing to rewind them back. And then I thought, no, actually, because
the emotional investment in some of those is going to be hard to escape, right?
But I mean more like your imagination of what went on and how hot it was compared to the actual
yes.
reality of the situation.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, there was a lot of fun memories that we have that maybe aren't quite true to form.
Yeah, I feel like none of mine are actually how I imagine them because in my imagination, I'm like some amazing porn star and it's the hottest sex you've ever seen. But in reality, probably not so much.
Love that. Love that. So would that be your first use of the pause record button?
Absolutely. Like, what else am I going to do with it?
What is that the first thing you go back to?
Yeah, what would you go back to? What would you watch again if you could rewind your life and watch it back?
Is it really sad that I would go back to, like school and hanging out with some of my friends or, like, uni,
so sweet.
Like, halls?
Would you really?
I think I would.
I would be... I'd be straight back to the sex.
No,
I would.
No, I won't be cheesy. I was going to be cheesy, but I won't. Go on.
No, that was beautiful, Joe.
Fine, thank you.
You've really, really touched me.
For the first time.
Well, Joe, this pulls us on to the end of the show. I know, you're having so much fun
as well. We've had so much fun.
We will definitely have you back on
the
show again in future. We're going
to
have some amazing guests coming on the show in the next couple of weeks. We've got the amazing Jamie Lambert. We've got Doug Armstrong. We've got Riyad Khalaf. Dan and John.
Riri.
Little Riri. We've got loads and loads of amazing guests. So do tune in every Wednesday from 6 p.m. And if you do want to send us any cheeky sex confessions for next week, you can do that by emailing Callum at FUBARradio.com. FubaRadio.com.
And a big thank you to everyone who's liked any posts or any comments that we've done. So a big shout out to Danny King, to @justmary919.
Love Mary.
Jonas, Sydney, Renee, Mary, Nick, Annabelle Knight. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so good at this, Joe.
Thanks.
All right, let's play them out with a little song.
See you guys.
See you later.
Young Money.